Podcasting 2.0 for March 6, 2026, episode 252, Joy Robber. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to your Friday, the first one in March. This is Podcasting 2.0. This is where it really goes down. We may take months to talk about something, but we do get stuff done here, that's for sure. This is the official board meeting of the Podcasting 2.0 group. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that doesn't need insurance to go through the Hormuz Straits. I'm Adam Curry here in the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who will code on your master for at least an hour. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, the inimitable, the pod sage, Mr. Dave Jones.
What exactly does inimitable mean?
It means you can't be imitated, I think. Inimitable, inimitable, inimitable.
That makes great sense.
That's what I think. Yes, inimitable. You cannot be imitated. You are one of a kind. When they made you, they broke the mold.
Well, it says the definition is so good or unusual as to be impossible to copy. So it doesn't necessarily mean good. It just means hard to imitate.
Yes, good
that or... That could be for many reasons.
Good or unusual. I think both are good. I think unusual is also good. I like you because you're good and unusual.
Boneless chicken wings are also unusual.
Well, they're fake, obviously.
I don't like them, though.
They're fake. It's not an actual chicken wing. So it's a... Speaking of fake, let's just get into it.
Yeah.
Let's just dive into it. No, a lot of talk about AI tags, AI tag, tags, AI tag. I got a little worked up in the shower.
You got worked up in the shower about AI?
Sorry for the visual. No, I'm listening to The Power, and I guess RSS.com put an AI tag into their feed.
Yes, that's correct. They used the TXT, mm-hmm. the podcast:TXT tag, which is a completely underutilized tag. It's one of the best tags.
Swiss Army knife of tags, baby. You can use that thing for anything.
It's not in the toolbox. It is the toolbox.
You know, and I know it's just. James said something that irked me. I'll just get it out. And because I'm not really mad at him, but he said, well, you know, the podcasting 2.0 folks, well, they'll take months to figure it out. Voice exaggerated. And I'm like, my first response is like, excuse me, bloke. Without Mate. Podcast index and the namespace, you'd still be circle jerking on some Slack group. So shut up. But then I thought, no, I won't say that.
You'll say what you weren't. You're
that's
say,
you'll what say I was what going to say.
That's what I was going
okay.
to say.
All right. Instead, I thought the better of it. And, you know, because it's like, you know, it's always in the podcast standards group and blah, 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 blah. Look, building is the only thing that matters. RSS.com build something. They threw something out there. I've really been thinking about AI in general when it comes to podcasting. And this whole thing, I'm not quite sure who this tag is for.
Nobody is, by the way. That's why nothing has happened until this point.
Yeah, I mean, and what is RSS.com's issue with AI podcasts? Do you know what the issue is? What is? I'm hearing myself. Are you really loud?
I'm
headphones
crinkling
loud?
A wrapper.
Okay, no, I mean, I just got to adjust the gate a little bit.
I'm coming back.
No, you're good now. You're good now.
Okay. Well,
because you talk to the boys over there all the time.
Yeah. Well,
come on, spit it out.
The reason that nobody has implemented anything on the AI front yet is because nobody knows how to do it. Let's define at least what the problem is, because defining the content is impossible. This is why nothing has happened until this point. And I think, all right, so the reason nobody has put in an AI label or whatever, AI warning or something, is that you don't, every podcast now, not everyone, obviously, I'm being hyperbolic, but so many podcasts use AI. So what are you saying when you say
exactly.
This podcast was made with AI? I mean, it could be any part of it.
So this is what I'm trying to figure out. It's like, who,
by the way, I like what RSS.com did. I'm just saying that's what has held things up. Go ahead.
No, you're making the same point I'm trying to make, is who is the tag for, and what is the problem? And I can kind of, you know, we have the iTunes explicit tag, and that to me kind of means like, yeah, it's for Apple's audience, you know, and there's stuff in here that they may not think is appropriate for their audience. And they got in there early. They got a namespace so they can have that. And I put no agenda to explicit. Nothing else is fine. But the AI tag, to me, it sounds like somehow the advertising industry is trying to protect itself from getting ripped off, and that's why this is so important. I don't really get it. And I'll tell you something else. In general, I don't think listeners care. If they hear something that they find informative and it happens to be in an AI voice, either they're insulted right away and won't listen to it anymore, or they listen to it. A friend of mine, who shall go unnamed, big Hollywood producer. Big Hollywood producer. She'll go unnamed. Everybody knows who it is.
Right.
And so he calls me. He says, I've got this. I've put this thing together. I got to talk to you about it. Yeah, I think it's patentable. So what you got? He says,
that's when you know it's not, is when they say
right away. And this guy has done major Hollywood productions, hates Hollywood. He's, you know, he's bored. He's trying to find something to do with his money, with his life, with his time. And so he's been token burning with OpenClaw. And he's a tinkerer. He's a real tinkerer. So he's got this thing to work. And he says, you know, I've programmed it so that you type in your area code, your zip code, and it automatically creates a daily podcast of news, hyperlocal news. As of course, he was trying to get my attention with the hyperlocal news. He says, and my neighbors love it. In fact, when I forgot to create a new episode, because I guess it's still kind of manual, he said my neighbors were calling me like, hey, where's my update? Where's my it's a very small municipality in California, Northern California, and. So first of all, I had to explain to him how it was not patentable. I said, by the way, welcome to what everybody's doing. For $1 million, you might be able to patent some process, but I don't think it's worth it. Do you think people are going to pay for this? And we ran through some business ideas. It all came back down to, well, if you can create 1,000 zip codes and you get 10 people listening, you know, then you might have a business if you jam two ads at the front and the back. I said, I don't know. I said, I basically talked him off the ledge and told him he should be creating great Christian movies and TV shows. I turned that thing on a dime. It was great. But the point of the story is that people don't care. They're not insulted in general. If you listen to most news readers, radio people, they don't talk like humans anyway. Hey, everybody, it's 77 degrees. It's 7 o'clock right here, WHTZ 100. That's how the radio talks. When you listen to the news, you know, it's like, even from his opponents and very little debate about what might be coming next. It's not human. This is why podcasts can be so beautiful. But it doesn't mean that kind of cadence and that kind of talking is invalid or that people reject it out of hand. I've just been considering this more and more. And I have to say, I do a lot of AI work for our Your Town Live streaming stations. I've come up with some pretty good voices, and it's announcery voices. You know, it's just announcer people doing promos, and they sound like radio announcer people. It's not like you wouldn't fall for it in a conversation per se, but I don't see where the issue is. What is the problem? And if people want to listen to the South Austin Metro traffic update 4 times an hour on a podcast, well, why not? I fail to see the problem, other than that there are people in the podcast industrial complex who feel they're getting pushed out by robots, and that all of this stuff floods the zone and people have more attention for other things that they think that they somehow are privileged to do. Backslash.
Yes. I agree with part of what you're saying and agree and disagree with another part. And that's again why this is difficult. Yes, there is value in the thing that you're talking about, in traffic, weather. These things are very automatable. And when you think back to the 90s and you're listening to, you're on the way in from driving into work from your home, and you hear some dude on the radio giving you traffic and weather on the 10s. Well, that guy might as well be automated on a tape.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. I mean, for all you know, he could have been, they may have been, if nothing changed since the last time he did it, he may just run the same thing again. There's no inherent problem with automating information delivery in a verbal way.
In fact, here in Fredericksburg, Texas, just to prove the point, 3 times an hour, an actual automated voice comes on. I'm pulling it up now for you. And it happens to be me. And this is what me says. And then it didn't work. I don't know why. Oh, I'm sorry. I have it muted. Have the tab muted. Here we go. It's 70 degrees on Main Street in Fred. You know, and every 15 minutes, it just pulls the right file into the spot and plays it. It's a robot. It's me, but it's a robot.
Yeah. Now extend that by 20 minutes and you have a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, but my point is, anything can be a podcast.
But that's a different question than that stands on its own. But then there's also a secondary question of, should you actually disclose it or label it, or should it be tagged in some way?
For who?
Well, think about Mastodon, Fediverse. There's a way with which you, a built-in way to label this account as a bot. And that's actually pretty helpful, because you can now take some a technical approach to, you can know a thing about the source that you otherwise wouldn't know, and that at certain points in time may become important. So it's not about whether it's a sort of good, bad, moral distinction that's being made. It's about whether or not it's valuable to know that. And I think sometimes it is. Now, because merely from the standpoint of being transparent so that people know that the voice they're listening to isn't a real person, that can be valuable in and of itself. If somebody tells me that if there's something in the podcast app that shows me that this particular podcast I'm listening to is purely automated AI generated, I like that. I like that I know that in advance and I'm not wondering whether or not it is. Because now what's happening, I think, now is this: there's disorientation that's happening all over media in general. I heard it this week. We were talking about some stuff in the office, and one of the guys that was talking in this group of people, he said, "Oh, I saw this thing the other day." He's like, "I don't know if it's AI or not. It probably is." Blah 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 blah. like there's a real sense of, you hear people say things like everything's AI now and blah, blah, blah. People, there's a real distrust and a sense of that people are being like I give up. I can't tell what's real anymore. And so I think from that, in that sense, it is good to know, if for no other reason than it's just a good thing. So I from that standpoint, but then you go further and you say, okay, well, the people that are going to be doing abusive things with this content, actually trying to somehow game the system in some way with ad fraud and things. They're never going to tag their content because that defeats their whole scheme. Well, you're right there too. And that's the whole reason that this has been such a difficult process, is because that is exactly what that's been the circle everybody's been going through for months on this same question, is should we tag AI? Well, if you do, the people who you would really want to, it's all in the sense of filtering. Okay, this is actually a good point. So you brought up the explicit tag. The explicit tag, why would you need to know that? And the only reason why you can think of that you would need to know that if it's explicit or not, and let's set aside for the moment, let's set aside what explicit means. That's a whole separate question. Let's just say let's imagine a world in which everybody agreed on what is explicit and what is not. That's not reality, but let's just pretend for a moment that it is. You have a thing called the explicit tag. There's only one reason you put that in there.
Yes. You want to know my reason?
Why?
I want it to be attractive to young people.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you. When you put a label on it like that, I'm like, oh, kids will love this. They'll jump right in. Ooh, it's explicit. I need to listen. That's exactly what I thought.
That is okay. That is interesting because it's the flip side. It's basically still the same thing. It's still one reason. Some people are going to want to not listen to it, and others are going to want to listen to it. It's a flag, and it says, it's a flag that lets people know, here's what this is, so that you can make a choice to listen or not to. That's the only reason that tag exists. And we all know where it came from. It came from, what's her name? A pivot lady.
Oh, I don't know if it came from her.
I'm kidding.
I don't think it came from her.
But she teed it up though.
she did.
That's why that thing exists. So there's a correlation directly over to the AI tagging. Again, the only reason it's going to exist is to try to help you make a choice. And in both circumstances, your decision-making process is highly complex.
You know, I'm with you and I really don't care, but I think you go down a road because if we propose the AI tag, I'm going to propose the Indian accent tag, the urban black voice tag, the annoying white woman liberal tag. I want all kinds of stuff I don't want to be offended by listening to it and, oh my gosh, because it's a different kind of voice. That's the all
Alex,
that it is.
Alex Jones tag.
Sure, because there is, it can be an if you said it's AI voice. Okay, because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about if it was the script was generated by AI, any of there's AI elements or bits. To me, it's useless. I'm okay with it, but I guarantee you in 6 years from now, we'll be talking about some other tag that we want because people need to be able to make a choice because it's too dangerous for them to hit play and make a decision within 30 seconds.
Chad F. said, for me, explicit means don't listen to it around your kids. Well, but see, it doesn't. And that's the whole difficulty of this, because there's some things that are marked explicit because they say, you know, they say shit in it.
Uh-oh. But explicit tag on the podcast.
I'm putting it in right now.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, you need to tag that.
Show info explicit. Yes, okay.
But we watch movies that have that in it.
Of course.
This is a bottomless pit of debate when you get into this. And the same exact thing it is with AI, because we've seen all kinds. We endlessly debated whether or not to put a expansion of the explicit tag into the podcast namespace that would allow all kinds of granular definitions of what it meant. This podcast contains cussing. This podcast contains talk about sex.
Cigarettes, language, yes. Violence. Yes,
self-harm.
Yeah,
every permutation
mm-hmm.
of this. But that's all based on filtering. And this is the same thing here. I don't have a problem with it for one reason. Somebody in the industry themselves decided to do it.
I'm with you.
And if they think it's necessary, then there must be a good reason in their mind, and I will support whatever that is.
I'm with you on that. I wouldn't mind knowing, but again, as I said, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I just don't see the point. To me, the point is I'm just trying to figure out the genesis of it. Where is it coming from? You're coming from, well, you want a choice because you, Dave, if you know, before you even hit play, you want to know if that's a robot. That's what you're saying. You want
that's
that.
That's not choice. What I'm. No. To be clear, that's not what I'm saying. I think that is the point.
I don't think so. I think it's coming from a monetization place where people don't want robots taking over. And my point is, then do a better podcast. Seriously.
Well, I don't think it's that simple, though. Mm. I don't, because your ability to do a great podcast cannot compete with AI's ability to generate 50,000 podcasts a day.
But that doesn't matter, because I don't see the 50,000 podcasts. Does it contaminate search? This is another reason. Yes. I think it contaminates search. Is that the number one way people get caught, get podcasts? No. Fundamentally, no. People hear about a podcast from their friend. They see something shared on social media. The discovery mechanism in podcasting is inherently, and by design of decentralization, not there. And this is the only reason why people go to YouTube, because, oh, I can get discovered. I could go viral. Good luck with that. That's not how podcasts have been. Did Serial, did that all of a sudden hit because of search? No, it became a hit because people dug it. They talked about their friends. It was on, you know, they posted in groups about it. So, okay. You know, I'm not arguing the point, and I think we should immediately make a tag for AI. Make a tag right away. Please put it in. I will advocate for it. But if anything, I'm sick and tired of other people, not us, other people trying to figure out when it should be labeled AI. Well, whenever you feel like it. When is it explicit? Whenever you feel like it. Make the tag. Put it in. Good to go. What has happened, and this was a very interesting case. We have a friend group. Oh, I hate saying this. So we got this friend group, and it was like a church-based group, and we all did a thing together as couples. Don't get any ideas, you perverts. It's not a key party. Throw it in the basket. And so I stupidly said, hey, you know, they said, well, we have a text group for the men and a text group for the women. I'm like, no, that's dumb. Let's just have one text group. dumb. I was a big mistake on my part because
you're the green bubble.
Well, I love being the green bubble and ruining it for everybody. All of a sudden it's like, hey, there's two groups now. How did that happen? Like, that's me. That's my green bubble. But you know, so the women, they're always posting stuff like pictures and memes. And so I had to silence it first of all, like, I can read this once a day and just catch up and see what's going on. But then one of the women posted a song like, listen to this girl, she's phenomenal, sing, sister. And you know, click on it, and I knew it right away. I knew what was going on right away.
AI
from Spotify. And all the women are all like, this is great, this is fantastic. And then actually Tina jumped in and said, this is AI. And then they all hated it, and I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. So you really loved it. You loved the singer. You loved the song. You loved everything about it. Everyone's hearting it. Heart, 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 heart. Boom. Emojis. But then the minute you hear it's AI, oh, I'm so disappointed.
But why did they like, but that, so the question is, why did they like it to begin with?
They liked it. I mean, that's.
But why?
I mean, why do people like artificial flavoring? I mean, you know.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think they like it. That they liked that song because in their mind they envisioned a human being who was able to accomplish something amazing.
No, I understand that. But
when they found out that it was a lie,
they were robbed. They were robbed of their joy.
Yes.
So what? But
it was never about the song itself. It was about what the human behind the song was able to produce.
Yes, but the world is fake and gay. Everything is imaginary. When one person reads a book, they have images in their head and it's fantastic. Another person goes, it sucks. I'm not drawing a conclusion. I'm just pointing out that somebody really loved a piece of quote unquote art. And then when they were told it was AI, they didn't. And all I saw was disappointment. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. They really loved it until they found out it was AI, and then it sucked. Whereas they might have sung along to it in the car, they'd be dancing to it. So,
well,
I'm saying, is it less valid?
Yeah. Yeah, it's less valid. 100% it's less valid. If you found out that... Usain Bolt was a robot and not a real human. Yeah, that would be like lots of children would be disappointed because it's not something that humans had accomplished.
That's a false dichotomy.
I think it's right
false
on.
False equivalency. I think
it's a monocotomy. I think it's absolutely on point.
Well, anyway, let us please immediately draft an AI tag to get it out of TXT, make it official, and end the conversation already. And no rules. If you feel that your content is explicit, check the explicit box. If you feel your content is AI, if you feel like you're cheating the listener, then click the box.
Well, I think this doesn't have the examples that have been brought up so far that we're kind of throwing back and forth, I don't think is really the point. Now, it may be that may be the point from something like Wavelake's side, where they feel like they're just getting overwhelmed by AI produced content. Now, that might be their issue, but I think the issue that RSS.com finally had to take an action on, and I believe that this will also spread to other hosting companies, especially ones that have a pure free tier and not just a free trial. I think that the impetus behind this is that if you take away the financial incentive, then the slop goes away. Not completely, but
okay, right there.
The majority
stop. Define slop for me.
I can't. It's like defining porn.
Thank you.
But I agree. But what I'm but from there. But let me. I don't have to define it to describe the process that is happening, because what a good example of this is if you look up in the index, beta finch. It's two words, beta and then space finch, F-I-N-C-H. This is a AI-generated podcast of earnings calls.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's have a listen. Oh, there's a whole bunch of them. There's different languages. Yeah. Oh, okay, so we have, all right, let's just listen for a second. Am I going to get an ad?
At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social
payment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. And wow, where do we start with these numbers?
Wow.
Broadcom just delivered what might be the most job.
Okay. All right. So I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. You get the feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an example of what Inception AI is doing, Inception Point, all these are popping up all over the place. You create an AI podcast of some publicly available information. Like with Inception Point AI, a lot of times it's just Wikipedia and stuff like that. Take those things, shove it in, create a podcast, stick it up on Spreaker or some other free tier dynamic ad insertion platform, and then you just get the delta.
Yeah.
Of the ads.
That's right. That's a business model.
It is the business. It's
not hurting my life.
Sure, but I'm saying, but you're not the target for this tag. The target for this tag is the platforms themselves.
No. I'm going to tell what platforms?
Spreaker, RSS.com, the platforms that have hosting tier.
Hosting companies.
Hosting companies with tier. Because what they will do is they will put into their terms of service,
we're going to tag your content.
If you don't tag your content, we'll throw you off.
I guarantee you that's not what's going to happen. Okay. What's going to happen is this I think is what it comes down to. I'm not saying anyone is thinking this per se, but I see into the future. Usually about 10 years into the future. This is why I'm not a billionaire.
This is true.
So hold on a second. Let me, where's my harp? Oh, I'm supposed to have a harp. Oh man. Oh, here we go. Harp. Seeing into the future. Platforms, as you call them, hosting companies, will auto tag. That is where this is headed. They may not do it now, but they're going to auto tag everything with AI. And I think that is inherently dangerous to go down that road, because then with AI itself, you can start auto tagging all kinds of content. It may start with categories first, but then it will go to language, certain terms. This is a dark road. Let me come back from 10 years. Let me just come back.
Yeah, come on back.
Yeah, I'm coming back.
I can barely see you right now.
I don't know why it's here we go. There we go. That's ultimately what advertisers and the podcast industrial complex want, is for the hosting companies to auto tag AI, quote unquote, slop. And even that, under what you're saying, is fair game. It's tagged. That's fine, because I still may check it out. You know, I'm not going to be thwarted by it, because I'm like, oh, it makes sense. A daily podcast about the S&P 500, the top 10 specifically in my language. Maybe it's AI, but I'll listen to it. I'll subscribe to it. But it's the beginning. And once the systems are in place, then it's going to be used for other stuff. You know how this works.
I disagree. And it's probably surprising that I do, because I generally am amenable to the idea that there is a slippery slope with categorizing content. But the reason I disagree in this case is because we've had the explicit tag around forever and they've never auto-tagged.
So what you're saying is, because let me just go back to your argument.
Okay.
That it is the hosting companies who have free tiers who are pissed off. I'm using that as a term, maybe wrong, that people are using their free tier to make little bits of money at a time.
No.
At the basis of it.
No, I don't think that they're pissed off about that, because if they sell, but I don't think they're pissed off about that. I think that there is a fear that the exploitation, this is the way I see it as best I can tell, and I could be completely wrong, but this is the vision I have in my mind of what is happening right now. And it's this same picture, mental picture that I have, that is the reason why I said in December on my predictions on the Power Show that 2026 was going to be a complete flood of AI podcast, because you can imagine that there is, whenever you put up a podcast there are ways to get some downloads that are not real. And what I mean is, automated, the IAB specs they're not perfect. They cannot filter out all of the noise, all of the download noise. And it is also not a coincidence. It can't be a coincidence that at the same time we've seen the rise of AI, of dynamic ad insertion supported AI podcasts, we've also seen a huge increase in the number of browser downloads. These things have come together. And what I'm saying is that the AI use of hosting platforms free tiers through dynamic ad insertion is taking advantage of the fact that there are going to be downloads of shows that are not real. Where those are coming from, I don't want to speculate.
Oh, I have an idea. Because you are making my point. I would like to tag every podcast that comes from a host with a free tier.
No, I've been
possible
asking for
as possible junk.
Yeah.
Free tier. Yep.
No, I've been asking for that. I've been asking for that for a long time.
Where's your pull request, brother? Where's your issue?
I'll do it. I'll put it in there.
I think every hosting company that has a free tier should tag a feed that is free as free tier. That would give me some information. Like, oh, this is a freebie. 90% possibility it's crap.
I guarantee you there's a tag proposal from me in the repo somewhere that with its exact proposal.
I'm going to ask my robot.
It could be found.
Okay. Your problem is still monetary. It's exactly where I started. The whole problem is we have free tiers and we have fake downloads. And that is only for the podcast industrial complex. A couple easy ways to stop that. One, stop giving away free tiers. That's like logical. But, you know, Spotify, Anchor probably won't do that. So maybe we should just label every Anchor feed as a free tier possible crap.
Well, I think from there, the reason I said that they're not pissed off about it, it's not a matter of being pissed off. I think what the issue is they are trying to get ahead of the curve and say there is abuse going on here. Clearly, there's some percentage of abuse that's happening.
Oh, it's a big percentage. See, John Spurlock noticing. He's noticing.
Right. And so if that's the case, you have to get in front of that. Otherwise, the advertisers will stop using the DAI.
Yay!
And the free tier goes away.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you can run a free tier is with ad supported.
Why do they run free tiers?
I think it's to give everybody access to a bigger,
it's to compete
with Spotify.
It's for the advertising. It's to get people in for free and then convince them to use your DAI from Megaphone or Libsyn or whatever you're doing to use your inserted ads. That is, so the problem is self-created.
I don't know. I think this is a self-defense mechanism.
From falling on their own sword. From falling on their own sword. You give away a free tier to get people to make some money on advertising. And then you're pissed off when people scam your system. And again, I'm not against the tag. I'm just saying that's the real problem.
But maybe it sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but I'm really trying not to. I don't think it's the hosting platforms that are pissed off. And I don't even think it's the ad platforms that are pissed off yet, but they're going to be. And I think that is the problem.
Yeah, a monetary problem.
But at some point, somebody has to prove that a download is real, and you can't, and that's the issue.
No, but you get a long way when an RSS feed costs at least $1 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, and by the way, this is nothing new because Bill Gates proposed a payment system for email because it would stop spam. Of course it would. So that's not going to happen. You know, so we've seen this movie before, but you cannot convince me that hosting companies give away a free tier for no reason. They give away a free tier because they either have an upsell for real people or they have an ad play. And I think most of them have an ad play. And now they're mad that people who they expected people to come in, get a free tier, grow your show. I can hear Todd Cochran in my mind, grow your show, and then we can help you get ads.
I don't think that is the most likely explanation. I think the most likely explanation for why hosting companies create free tiers is because they're trying to compete with YouTube and Spotify.
But how?
Both offer free content.
Dave, okay. How are you competing by giving something away for free? There's got to be something that they feel is in the future.
Well, no, but you compete by keeping that creator from going to a different podcaster from going to the other platform.
Where's the money? But I'm just looking at it from a
in
business.
The ads.
Oh,
in the ads.
Oh, okay. There you go.
But it's so little. I mean, you're talking about nothing.
But this is the problem. I'm just getting to the root of the problem, and thank you, we got here. The problem, we did. The problem is, and Spotify is probably the worst offender, is that Spotify has free hosting, and they have an ad system that you can sign up for, clickety-click, I'm in, I'm good. And so if I can create 10,000 feeds and I can do at least one download of each of those podcasts per day with two ads, now I'm making some money. That's the problem. And so everybody is competing on that same playing field by ads and a free tier. And they don't want someone else to go to that other place because they'll be going off of their advertising system. And on top of that, it's now being gamed because of the weak metric of downloads. There's your problem. It's not for people to make a choice. It's not for, you know, it's not for a warning or it's none of that. That is the core problem. As long as we recognize it, then maybe we can really get some real solutions in place. Because I find it incredibly important that we protect podcasting from overflow. There's all kinds of things, but look at where the problem is coming from. You know, so you have companies who are creating the problem and then want an industry-wide solution, which is not actually the root of the problem.
I mean, it is going to fix, it will fix the problem.
How will it fix it? It won't fix browsers downloading that stuff.
Look, I'll tell you exactly how it'll fix it. Because here's the sequence of events. The hosting company with a free tier changes their terms of service to say, if you produce a show entirely from AI, soup to nuts. The whole thing is AI. You must tag it as such when you post.
Why would they do that?
But hear me out. They changed their terms to say you must do that. And that way, if you don't, they will kick you off the platform. And then that flows through to the advertiser, and the advertiser can choose, can make a check mark in the ad server that says, I do not want my ad served to any AI tagged podcast.
Okay. So let me just run that back for you. Okay. So because people are being disingenuous, and this is just trying to get to the bottom of what's going on. So, and I think you're probably right. The idea is, because you said terms of service three times now, the idea is we make it look like this is a big industry push because people don't want AI slop, but really we want to change our terms of service to say, if you are producing an AI podcast, whatever that means, and you don't tag it, we will auto tag it so you won't get ads.
I don't think they'll auto tag it. I think they'll just kick them off the platform.
Oh, kick them off the platform.
They'll just remove it.
Okay.
They'll just remove it.
And that helps their bottom line. How? The thing is, it's a scam. Everybody knows downloads is a scam.
Well, yeah, totally.
So,
but the same way Spotify, they have the free anchor tier. And if you post music on there, they will just remove you. They kick you off immediately.
Sure.
It's against their terms of service.
And why? Because they have financial deals with music.
Yes.
So it's all financial. But
I don't think it's all financial though. I think there's
life is financial.
Sure, but in that sense, but I'm saying I think it's two. There's a dual reason here. Yes, financial. For sure, not arguing that at all. But also, the people do not like the AI slop. Just in the boardroom, while we've been talking, we've had multiple comments saying that's crap.
You know, okay, stop.
There is
stop,
a visceral
stop,
reaction.
Stop
to it.
Right there, okay. Because I produce a lot of AI content, and I do not get that pushback. You're making a determination about the world of audience in general based upon the boardroom. I play end of show mixes on the No Agenda show, and I play those three mixes before we start the show as for people to kind of get into the mood. And all the troll room does is AI slap, AI minus minus, AI minus minus. Oh, it hurts me up. You know who doesn't complain? The listeners. Not once have I received an email from somebody saying, wow, those songs at the end of the show, they really suck. Not once.
The most recent.
I love arguing with you, by the way. It's probably one of my favorite things to do on a Friday. I love you so much. You are just, it's too bad John C. Dvorak is going to pull through. You would have been great. You would have been great for No Agenda.
So
stay healthy, just in case.
I got your back. The most recent head of the Microsoft recently announced a new quote CEO of their Xbox division. They kicked the old guy out, and they brought in this lady who used to be the head of, or used to be like the CFO or something of Shopify. It caused a huge uproar. Everybody, you know, and everybody's like, she's not a gamer. All the gamer people are mad. But one of the things she said when she first got there, because there's this big debate right now in hardcore gamers, and these are techie people. There's a huge debate right now in the gaming world about whether AI should be in games or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could care less. I'm not into the gaming stuff. But that is a huge debate that's going on. Some people hate it. And one of the first things she said when she came, she said a bunch of things that first day, but she made a very clear statement. We are not going to put a bunch of AI slop in our games.
Okay.
Those were her words.
Okay.
My point by saying that is she would not say that if there was not a real thing in the real world with a mass number of people that AI slop is a problem.
But like,
you said I produce a lot of AI content and nobody complains. That's different from what is colloquially referred to as AI slop.
Is it?
It is.
You find that S&P report to be slop. You brought it up as an example and you said this is, you didn't say it, but you implied that that was AI slop.
What I said was this is an example of what AI slop means. And the boardroom immediately said, slop.
But no, I think that is just saying it's an AI voice, it's AI produced. It doesn't take away from the validity of people wanting to consume that.
Never said it did.
No, but okay, so anything with an AI voice is slop. Let's just say.
No, I would never say that.
Well,
I would never say
but
that.
But just like you said, I'll know it's porn when I see it. There is no CEO of podcasting. Again, mm-hmm. I want to move away from that part of the conversation back to the core of the problem.
But wait, before you move away though, I think this is pretty critical though. Because this is what I'm saying. This is why I say I don't think it's purely a financial motive. There is a perception in the real world that the internet is being flooded with low quality AI generated content.
Yes.
And that is a problem, and because people don't like it. Now, how you define it, that's complicated, but it is a very real perception. And I think that's why companies also want to tag it, because they don't want their brand to be associated with what other people perceive as slop.
Okay. So one man's slop is another man's porn.
That's a bumper sticker.
So just to go back to the core, because you really laid it out and I understood it, and I don't want to be distracted, because yes, when I look at my X timeline, I know that there's bots producing slop, and I know that they're doing all kinds of stuff to get me to interact, and then the bot grows. I understand that. And there is the concept of the dead internet is very real. And we've had bot slop on email for years, really. It's only getting worse. The minute you remove why we need to look at the financial incentives. Why is there still email spam? Because a percentage of it works. And whether it's a scam, or whether it's an ad, or whether it's to get someone to donate, what has happened with email has significantly impacted, just as an example, the No Agenda newsletter. Because now AI is scanning everything and is making decisions. This is slop. This newsletter from these guys is slop. And of course, it's not correct, because the people who subscribe to it want to receive it. It gets thrown to junk. It gets thrown to promotions. There's a different determination, whatever the temperature in the data center is, and the AI makes a different decision. Go to the financial incentives of slop. I'll use your word, slop, in podcasting. It is a financial incentive. So remove the financial incentive, the problem will go away. The financial incentive has been triggered by free podcast hosting from one company, Spotify. That's who everybody's competing with. That's the problem. That is the core problem. So I declare a fatwa and jihad on Spotify. Blow up their data centers.
Whoa.
Sorry. I went out
of
control.
That was AI.
Really, that wasn't really me.
Yeah.
So, and at the bottom of the core of the problem is we have a crap measurement system that everybody knows. Everybody knew it was phony. We all had to, not we, but the whole industry had to do to give money back to advertisers when they had the iOS 17 apocalypse. And,
we didn't know. We didn't really understand that the downloads were phony and people weren't listening.
You all know it. Come up with a better system. Instead of spending an hour talking about this, let's come up with a better system. Oh, you don't actually want to. Because when the truth comes out about how many people are actually listening, you're going to be poor again.
This goes back to the story that I heard from a hosting company where they saw spikes in downloads for a particular show. And contacted that show saying this, you know, some your downloads are show abnormal behavior. Like it looks, we just want you to know, we don't know what's going on, but it looks like it'll go up, then it'll fall off, then up, then fall off. And bug. Come to find out, they were using a traffic generation company and the way that that company works, and they advertise as being able to boost your rankings in Apple Podcasts. And the way that this company works is they will use all kinds of click banners in mobile games and that kind of thing to get to incentivize people to go and follow you in Apple Podcasts, which gives you a temporary bump in your traffic. These are people that never intend to listen to your podcast. They don't give a crap about your podcast. They are just there to get their next loot crate in their mobile game or whatever this is.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that standpoint, it's non-organic. It's a temporary bump. And there was an agency that was helping this show. And when the hosting company explained, you know, hey, these aren't real users. These aren't real listeners, subscribers. This is just a temporary thing. You know, from this service and it's in that kind of thing, what they were told was, oh, well, we don't care. We don't care whether it's real or not because the hosts of the show, they love it when they see these big numbers. So the hosts of the show just want to see big numbers. They do not care. That's all they care about, big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And the people managing the show get to say, look, we gave you big numbers. Yeah. So everybody's happy and the downloads aren't real. That's the way this thing works. And that's not with a free tier. That's with a paid hosting account, you know? And so it's all fake. It's all fake.
Yeah.
It's right. Crap.
So the only thing that's happened here is the smart spammers. Hooligans have come up with a decentralized way to scam the system. And the decentralized way is create 10,000 free accounts, get a couple downloads each on content that it takes almost nothing to produce, and we're making money. That's what's going on. And I think that we can tag and bag all we want, but ultimately the problem is in the metrics for advertisers. And there have been many proposals and no one ever really wants to jump up on it because of what I said before. Because hosts love big numbers, number go up, but if we really knew what was going on, we'd have 2 million podcasts in the index and they would be great and real and you'd get rid of the whole problem. And it's absolutely technically possible to create an architecture where we can get real listen numbers minute by minute. Sam Sethi has been doing a lot of work on that with True Fans, but the industry doesn't actually want it.
Yeah, for that exact reason that I just explained, because it's so much easier to get big numbers without real stats.
So again, the podcast industrial complex is the problem. They are creating the problem. They're the problem.
Agree.
Okay. So screw those guys. Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah.
But you know, so anyway, at least we're talking about the real issue.
Well, I don't have a problem with the tagging.
I don't either. I just think it's futile. It's meaningless.
It's just as meaningless as the explicit tag.
Yeah, meaningless.
I take that back. It's not as meaningless. I think this is actually going to be a real signal because there is financial motivation behind it.
I hope so. I hope it works.
There's actually a financial disincentive to tagging explicit. This as a financial incentive, I think this will spread, and I think it will spread very quickly.
You know, there was a hosting company who shall not go named who was blocking all Linode servers, downloads from Linode servers by IP address range. Wouldn't you know they stopped doing that? I happen to know this.
Because I asked.
All of them?
I don't know, but that...
Because I got one server whitelisted.
There's probably a lot. I think they probably had to
because there's so many browser downloads. We got to open it up, guys.
No, I worked with them on the process of trying to block some of this stuff. They were trying to block the Vietnamese poker scammers from posting 1,000 podcasts a day. It was coming from everywhere.
I'm just talking about accesses, downloads. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to block that from a CDN.
Of course it is. It's just where there's so much energy, literal energy and money wasted with scammers.
Oh, it's horrible.
And the reason is because it works, because you can make money that way, whether you're an agency making money off of your client, making them happy, but still you're just wasting resources.
It feels like most of what I do these days, whenever I get some coding time on the index,
wasting resources.
Is all about just trying to protect ourselves from scammers.
I know.
It's all it is.
I know.
It's abuse control.
Yeah. Well, I really would like to propose a free tier tag. And if anyone ever picks up on that, that would be great. And we can just label all of Spotify a free tier tag, so I can filter it out.
The Anchor was super easy because
it was
Anchor. I didn't even need a tag.
It was Anchor.
It's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, was there anything else going on in the world?
I had stuff on the list. I've got some stuff on here, but I really probably want to, we'll talk about it next week.
I love this conversation. I thought this was was helpful for me at least.
Well, I think that this goes along with it because since we're on the AI tip here, I saw a guy this week. What day was that? That was like Wednesday. I was getting in the car, going back to the office from my lunch break, and a guy jogs by and he's like, "Hey, Dave." This is a guy he's in my neighborhood. I haven't seen him for probably, I don't know, a year.
Uh-huh.
And he's a lead developer, or I guess he'd be senior engineer at a big company that does like stationery and greeting cards and all kinds of stuff. And they have a very strong e-commerce platform. And so he brought up AI. He's like, "Hey, you playing with any AI coding?" And I was like, yeah, sure. So we start talking about it. And I think I'm starting to see from that conversation, I think I'm starting to see how this AI coding thing is kind of going to play itself out.
Okay.
So I asked him, I was like, "Well, have you fired all your developers yet? Because you're just going to have one guy in the basement with banging away at Claude." And he was like, no. He was laughing. He's like, no, he's like, we mandate all of our developers to use AI agents. And he said, we are actually hiring more developers.
Oh, of course. I have no doubt that the AI revolution will only increase job opportunities.
But it's this thing that he said, though, that was sort of where the light bulbs went on. He said, because I asked him, I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. It's, you know, it's not the narrative that's out there when you hear about all this stuff. It's, you know, Block, Square, or whatever, Jack Dorsey firing his 40% of his staff.
Yeah, sure, BS. Sure.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, AI is taking over their jobs. Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with AI and everything to do with their stock prices. Yes. One third what it was a year ago.
Yep, exactly.
So he said that the reason that they're mandating the use of AI is because they have such a huge backlog of issues and feature requests that their staff just can't get to. He said the list of things that they have to do, just their tickets in the developer system just keeps getting longer and longer and longer.
Sure, sure.
And he said for the first time using these AI agents, they've been able to actually make progress on that endless to-do list.
Ooh, got a ball.
And so, like, they can actually deliver things in a timely manner now. And so now they've basically taken themselves from a black hole of hopeless get issues.
A black hole of hopeless get issues.
Yeah. To now they're able to, like, actually do stuff and keep pace.
You know, I'm so happy with Gemini. Gemini now does something that XAI did a long time ago. Because the way I code is I say, here's my code. I paste the whole Python script. I want to add this. It gives me back a Python script. Now, it used to do this sequentially in the browser. When the browser would get up to like 3 gigs, you know, the browser's struggling. Now they pop open a code window and then it goes away. When you've copied the code, it goes away. And as new code, it pops it into a separate frame, kind of. So it's not filling up the entire browser history. And I created an AI, I call it the AI co-producer. I'm sorry, it named itself the AI code producer, the AI co-producer. And so I now manage an entire streaming station just by typing in what I want it to do. So, for instance, hey, add this song at the next hour after the weather. Add this RSS feed from this devotional every other hour at about 15 after the hour. And it does all of this stuff. What was interesting is at a certain point, so it's also doing promos. And nobody heard those last week, which was great because I played the promos and I didn't record somehow, which is fantastic. Right. But the system had said, well, why don't we use the Google 1.5-Pro for doing the promo scripts, and we'll use, you know, the faster model for just managing the stuff, you know, scheduling and all that. Okay. Holy crap. I think that I, in quotes, I wrote, I now have 55 guardrail rules. Now I understand how these companies operate. Now I understand why Anthropic doesn't want autonomous weapons run on their stuff, because these things are still just language interpreters. You have to build all the tools, and you got to put all these guardrails in so it doesn't go off, quote unquote, off the rails. Dude, it would straight up lie. It would say, oh, yeah, here's your hour. And it would show me a beautiful list and it would show me the things I'd planned. I go look at the YAML file. It's not in there. Oh, yeah. and this was going on for 2 days. I'm like, why are these guardrails failing? Yeah. And it turns out it was the model. The model, the fast model, is really only good for having a quick little chat, nothing else. You need the thinking model, the reasoning model that goes through five. And even then, it doesn't lie as much, but even then, it does stuff. It just out of the blue does something complete reverse. It sucks. It is so horrible. I've got it to, I mean, I'm like, I can't give this to customers. I've got it to a place now where I'm ready to test it myself on my own real server in real time. But it is, these things have no, zero, zilch, absolutely nothing. Bottom of the barrel, like where the whale shit lives, there's no intelligence whatsoever in these systems. It's all the tools you build. I can imagine why what Claudebot must be doing. I mean,
no, there's no telling.
It, you know, it's insane. It, there's no intelligence. It just does stuff because it interprets one. You write the exact same sentence twice. It does two different things. Unless you give it all these tools and guardrails.
You need to give Claude a try if you haven't. Claude Code.
You know, the reason, here's why I haven't tried Claude. Because Google has access to songs, videos, and video transcripts. It has, and Google search. It has phenomenal access to external data sources. That's the only reason why I haven't tried Claude. X is crap from beginning to end. And because it's built on Twitter, you know, it's like, of course.
So you could use Claude to build. We need to Zoom call one day and I can show you my Claude process of how, I think it will change the way you do stuff. So what I've been working on this week as a project for the day job is, there's a whole bunch of invoices that we need to extract data from, like the invoice date, the invoice number, the vendor, the amount, all these kinds of things. Just basically extract these data points from it.
Mm-hmm.
And these are this like 1,500 pages of invoices.
Mm-hmm.
And so you sit down to design a thing that will do this. And you know immediately these are all different vendors. All their invoice formats are different. They don't look anything alike.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to be a difficult task. The first run of just feeding it to an LLM is a disaster.
Yeah.
And yes, it will give you things a lot of times. It will give you a bunch of stuff, but that's not the right way to do it. I think the learning curve in all of this stuff is learning when to bring in the LLM to do a very specific thing.
Yeah.
Because like what we ended up doing is using existing OCR software. We're using a package called Apache Tika that will suck all the text. It will OCR a PDF and suck all the text out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You take that text and you pre-process it with a whole bunch of language filtering stuff like that. Yeah, exactly.
Said, of course.
Exactly. You pre-process it, get it down to a very predictable format, then you feed it to the LLM and say, and with the right prompting and say, this is what I'm looking to get out. So, but even then you have to use the correct model, just like you're saying, because we tried 10 different models and finally we hit the one that worked for our use case was Gemma 3.
Mm.
And we kept going down because initially you would feed it an invoice and it would be like, it would take 10 minutes to chug through it.
So the danger, so there's two observations. First, the danger is when they upgrade the model or deprecate your model, and here's a better one, it's going to screw you over. And you know that's coming. The other part is you can't give this to a user. You have to do it. And that's great because it's more work for Dave. It makes your work easier, but you have to sit. I mean, when I'm using my production tool, I'm looking at the log. I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. I see exactly the mistake you made. You know, so I can do it really well, but I'm afraid if I put this in hands of a user, you know, what's going to come out of it? Funny enough, here's just one anecdote. So I was trying to get it to do a promo. And it kept failing, and then it kept doing it wrong. And, you know, because it's like sound effect, intro, sound effect, clip, sound effect, outro, sound effect. That's the format. And it was doing it all different. And then it inverted the music bed and made that 100% and the voiceover 75%. And I literally typed in explicit tag, fuck you, all uppercase. And then boop, it just did it. It was the most amazing thing. For a moment there, I'm like, wait a minute. There's some intelligence there after all. But I think that's kind of the bottom line is like, if you know what you're doing, you can create some amazing things, but you got to know what you're doing. If you don't know exactly what you're doing, you're going to be disappointed.
Well, see that. So Eric PP was like, you know, you can host Gemma locally. And and that's exactly what we're doing.
Because on Ollama.
This is private. This is private information. So you can't send that to the cloud. So we're running, you know, local LLM.
Yeah. And that's the way to go.
And you can have complete control, and once you have the model downloaded, nobody will take it away from you. You got it forever.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And that's, I've got my NVIDIA card here, and, hopefully it's been kind of a rough week here at the house with John and everything. Yeah. I should probably let everybody know, who's listening that John C. Dvorak had his double bypass surgery this morning. He came through fine, still critical. He's on machines basically, but he is expected to pull through. So that shook me more than I thought it would, to be honest with you. I'm like,
I'm surprised that it. Yeah, I was surprised that it didn't. I was expecting you to be pretty rattled by it. Yeah.
Well, initially, I always go into, okay, crisis mode. What are we going to do? And I'm talking more to Mimi and the kids and, making them, because, the Dvoraks are a funny bunch, man. Once everyone's kind of cool, they literally said, okay, we're going to send out a newsletter on Saturday, and we're doing a special donation, the Give John a Reason to Live donation. I'm like, you guys are amazing. You guys are amazing.
Wow.
Like, John will be so proud.
And if he doesn't make it, we still get the money.
Exactly. It's a win-win, people. It's a win-win. Anyway, I don't know how it came up. So, yes. I am setting up my own local gear here, because that, without a doubt, hands down, is the future of this stuff. Decentralize it, run your own stuff, probably within 2 years, just sit outside the data center. You'd be able to pick up a couple of nice NVIDIA GPUs because everything will have to be refreshed and a new bunch of money will come through. And I don't mind running a generation behind, because if it's just me, I think it'll be pretty decent. I don't need to run a data center.
Well, that Gemma 3 12B model here. If all you need is to interpret some text, the smaller models will do great.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fine. And they'll fit in a 24 gig RAM system easily. And so if you just need a small model, something like Gemma 312B is a very good model, and it's super fast on even small systems. I mean, like, you can do like a whole page of text and try to like do some data extraction,
mm-hmm.
It'll process that thing in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's and nice.
And it's all local, and you can run it. Like, you could pick up, Mac Studio with like 96 gigs of RAM like that.
Yeah,
that would smoke through.
Is clearly the future.
It is.
It's totally. So clear to me. And that I very much look forward to. Some of these Qwen text to speech models are pretty good. I got my free Spotify account. Got a little business I'm setting up here on the side. I got a couple of Linode servers running browsers. Mm-hmm. So my financial future is secure. Become a podcast download spammer. Yeah, AI slob.
Yeah, you just charge for it. Yeah, take the skim off the top. Yeah.
Shall we thank some people, Dave? Since we've almost gotten to our max here. We got a couple of nice boosts today, and I know that Eric PP is working on an upgraded version of Helipad. I think that will include LNURL boosts.
Thought that he shipped a release.
Oh, I haven't. Oh, I have to look and see if it's on the Start 9 yet.
Let me look at the GitHub Mastodon bot.
I I never have to log into that machine. I love my Start 9 so much.
That thing, the GitHub Mastodon bot has changed my life.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I love looking at it. Oh, this is it's like a
helipad
sweeper. Like a sweeper coming through. Just we're sweeping everything up here, people. We're taking care of everything.
Yeah, here it is. The helipads from ARPP. Helipad 0.2.2 is now available on Umbral. The Start 9 version will be out soon. This is from 3 hours ago.
All right, so I don't have to
look. New version adds support for Fountain, Podcast Guru, Boostbox metadata, Lightning invoice support, nice. LN URL boostbacks.
Nice.
Triggers based on sender name, app name, and podcast name.
Oh, man. And so it'll do key send and LN URL? Or?
Yes. And, yep. And triggers for MIDI instruments and open sound control. Web sockets for more immediate.
You are a hero. You're a hero. You're a hero.
This is killer, man.
Dreb Scott comes in with 1, 2, 3, 4. He says, I'm an IT infrastructure jack of all trades guy. Network firewalls and much more, but not a script writer. I can read scripts, but I'm not a programmer. AI has helped me get more complex things done faster. However, I seem to be spending a lot of time iterating with AI to get what I need. Yeah. I'm using ChatGPT and Glean AI. Yeah, I mean, that's just look at how images are made. If you say make an image and you're not happy and you want to adjust it, you might as well just do your old prompt again. And it's like the old Google. I'm feeling lucky because iterating is not a thing. There is a 10,000 sat boost from Dreb Scott. So baller, throw a baller at him.
Shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
He said, "Join late, go podcasting." Silas VT, Silas VT, with a row of ducks. 2222. He says, "About last time, how would that new Podping Hive replacement thing turn out for app devs? I like that I can just have a script sleep and wake up every 3 seconds and check the newest Hive block. I don't want to actually maintain long-running programs. Doesn't match my stack." I forgot the name already. Gossip over some Rust thing. Yes.
That's what it's called. Gossip over some Rust thing.
It's GOSSERT is the new acronym for it. GOSSERT. Gossip over some Rust thing. So do you want to answer that?
Well, it's not a Hive replacement. Hive is still going to be... You know, I tried to make that clear last week. Hive, this is an additional back end. So Hive will still continue just like it always has. And then there will be a gossip back end as well that will broadcast over gossip. And then we will add archiving to the gossip as well so that you can go and grab it. Spurlock's working. He's worked out a way to do it on the AT protocol with a personal data store.
Ooh. The AT protocol. Isn't that
that's Blue Cry?
Yeah, exactly. Blue Cry. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go, and then also, we'll put it on object storage with a, you know, where you can just go to something like, who knows, archive.podping.cloud/current, and it'll give you the current block, and then you can walk things backwards. So it'll be just as user friendly. A key factor in Podping is always you don't have to rerunning a server to be able to find the stuff.
That's it.
So that will not change.
1701 from Lycia, Martin Lindeskog. How about verified podcasts via Podcast Index, podcast hosting companies, and the Podcast Standards Project? How about no?
Nope.
Not going to happen.
Negative.
And Martin Lindeskog comes in again with... Tom Stoffel, best premises, which of course means there's no something free lunch. I forget what it is. What's the acronym? TANSTAFL. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There we go.
Yeah, there it is.
Yes. Hey, Franco Solario, coming in from Castomatic, of course. 1,000 sets. Testing CoinOS wallet on Castomatic via network Nostr Wallet Connect. NWC, it worked.
He's got a big release coming.
Yeah. I had a big release the other day.
It's on the poop tracker?
You know, ever since I mentioned that, I've got all these follow requests on the poop app.
Gross. Like,
hey, man, I want to follow your poop. No, I'm not going to respond to your... I'm not going to let you follow my pooping. That's just for the kids, for the secret group. Another row of ducks, 2222, Silas VT, Podcasting 2.0 group, taking way too long and making every single tag way overcomplicated and useless since whenever it started 2020 or whatever. Yeah, nice. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of how I took it. Coming in from Castomatic, Sir Brian of London, 4,547 Satoshis. I can boost again. Castomatic has allowed me to connect to my own node. No, there's a hack. Yeah. Sending a best president. Oh, 4547. Sending a best president in history boost for President Trump, dragging Israel into war and making me wake up three times a night to take cover. Yeah. That's funny. Salty Crayon with the 777 from Podcast Guru. Howdy, Adam and Dave. Update on more LLMs coming to the Department of War, formerly known as the Department of Defense. Grok is next on the table. Copilot is now on the third wave of signups, and ChatGPT is in the coming soon choices. And we just had customers that never knew about Windows Update. What a time to be a dude named Ben, praying for JCD and my sanity. Yeah, salty crayon. I'm sure Department of War is a mess with all those LLMs. Another Martin Lindis Kog from True Fans 420. I like the episode title, Pod Snuggle. Do you remember Dr. Snuggles TV series? Yes, of course I do. Absolutely. 221 from S3th, from Seth. S-E-S-3-T-H, Seth. Love how Adam pretty much told James what he thinks. LOL. Love the banter and the spice. It's probably Sam Sethy. Be sneaking in with some, like, True Fans fake account.
Sirth.
Seth. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Couldn't decode it. Franco Solario again from Castomatic 5150. No note. We've got 330. Wait, that's no agenda. No agenda. Podcasting 2.0. 333 from Eric PP from CurioCaster test 6. Eric PP from Fountain.fm test 5. 20. Oh, there's the delimiter. So you're up.
I got some some PayPals. Cameron Rose, $25.
Thank you,
Cameron. Thank you, Cameron. The content creator's accountant, $50.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a subscription. Pod Page, that's Brendan and the gang over there at Pod Page. I've heard in Pod News that they're doing things. $25.
Thank
New
you.
New Media, this is Martin Lindskog, is $1. Thank you, Martin. Appreciate that. Joseph Maraca, $5. Thank you, Joseph. Oh, Oscar Mary, $200.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you very much, Oscar. Yeah, Oscar wants to talk to me about music. It's tough, man. It's tough. The music is tough. That's where the slop became a real problem.
Yeah. No, it's almost lost at this point.
Well, unless you got to pay. If you got to pay for stuff.
The same way the no agenda end of show mixes. It's just lost.
It's not. In the art. The art is lost. The art is lost. The art is at. Well, although, did you see the one we had for this past episode?
I did. That was funny.
Wasn't that great? That was great. Breaking.
Oh, look.
Yes?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. No, break me.
It says breaking. JCD has a heart. Yeah. Hilarious.
Gordon at Godcaster.
What?
$500.
What? Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Wow.
We paid ourselves.
Now, Gordon.
Adam and. Go ahead.
No, he has a note. Go ahead. He has a note.
Adam and Dave sending a boost from Godcaster. Home of the digital radio dial for Christian broadcasting. Grateful for the work you're doing for open podcasting. Just doing our part to help keep the servers running. Gordon.
I am so happy that he did that on behalf of Godcaster. And I really hope it is on behalf of Godcaster. Because without the podcast index, there would be no Godcaster.
That's right.
So, well
We're
done.
We're eating our own dog food.
Yes, well done, Gordo. Thank you.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, and we got some boosts. Yes, thank you, Gordon. Let me sort this so I can make some sense out of it. There we go. Anonymous, True Fans, 4785. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you,
Anonymous. Another Anonymous, 4785. And that's it. We're just a good comic strip blogger.
All right. The delimiter.
22,000 sats.
Nice.
Through Fountain, he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I want to recommend a podcast called The Audacity to Podcast, where Daniel, quote, gives you the guts and teaches you the tools to launch and improve your own podcast for passion and profit. P-R-O-F-I-T, that's popularity, relationships, opportunities, fun, income, or tangibles.
Ooh, I like that.
Its website is www.theaudacitytopodcast.com. Yo, CSB, AI Archwizard.
Yeah, I got to get in touch with him. He wants to do an AI Archwizard episode with me showing how I vibe code.
Oh, do it. Yeah, which, do it. Which I want to see how you vibe code too, because it sounds horrible.
It's actually fantastic.
Running the same Python script through a prompt over and over again sounds terrible.
It works so well.
Oh, I can speed you up so much.
Did you? I might have to do a speed test with you, because
the Superpowers plugin for Claude Code is a complete game changer. See,
you mistake me for a coder. I mean, here's literally what I did yesterday. So the same Gemini Pro model that I'm using for the co-producer recognizes a problem. It says, okay, I'm running, and you know, so now I've got it to, okay, I've got a problem here. And I say, hold on, I'm going to take you over to engineering. And I copy the log and I put it into the Gemini chat. As art engineering, this is what the co-producer said. And it's like, oh, okay, well, we'll fix this over here. It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. I'm having a conversation.
It's so weird.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Ship it to the correct department, please.
I have to do this little segment every single time because Spurlock loves it so much.
I bet.
He thinks it's his favorite new segment on the 2.0 podcast.
Is Adam's vibe code stories. Adam's
vibe coding stories, yes.
I bet. I mean, how many times did he just clench his fist and rage at the sky?
No, I don't know. No, I mean, he's seeing what it can do for nincompoops. It's pretty good.
Nincompoops.
I'm a nincompoop. Yeah, I'm not a coder. All right. Do we have any monthlies, or would you get them all in that first batch?
That's it.
All right.
We got it.
Thank you all very much for supporting the Podcast Index. It is of great importance that we continue to fund this so we keep the machines whirring. None of it goes to Adam or Dave. It all stays within the Podcast Index LLC and is kept there for just keeping everything running. And you can go to podcastindex.org. At the bottom, there's a big red donate button if you want to send us fiat fun coupons. And now that the fun is back in boosting and the helipad is going to be upgraded, keep those boosts coming. We love it. We love seeing that, and all of that stays on our node and eventually becomes valuable and then devalues and valuable and, you know, whatever.
It's up just there. And down. And
we,
up
just,
and down.
We just provide liquidity for everybody. Brother Dave, thank you so much, man. Thank you for arguing with me. I love doing that with you. That is, yep. And I think it's productive. I don't know if anyone found it entertaining, but you sure won't get that from those AI numbnuts. Let's dive in, shall we?
Yeah, it's time for a deep dive on the Denny's menu.
Board meeting, boardroom, thank you very much for being here. We will return next Friday with more of your Podcasting 2.0 Boardroom. Till then, have yourselves a great weekend. Bye now.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Everybody's happy and the downloads aren't real.